Ready or not, Dynasty Rookie Drafts are here. We set the scene 3 weeks out of Detroit Rock City. Kick back. It's the IBT Podcast coming right at you.
Because I've been in tune, out of touch, coming off the bench, trying to shake the funk, check a stat line, see who's up, that over, under, hit too clutch.
I'm trying to avoid getting carried away with the Jets, we sleeping on a trick play, predicting all of my moves like they seen every play, so I'm running it back, head down, get out of my way, and it's for the law with only one thing to do, I guess I'll say a prayer and put it all on the line. But they don't know something they haven't seen. I find a gap on the screen and hit them right in between. Yeah, I got it. And I got it. Just one thing to say. Yeah, but they don't know something they haven't seen. I'm off that mean Joe Green. It got me fading in between. Yeah, I got it. In Between Fantasy Football Podcast.
All right. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, and the sports world was on fire this past weekend. College basketball national champions throughout it, WrestleMania, the Texas Valero Open, and NASCAR, even at Martinsville. We'll look past that, though, because the NFL fans and the sports world, we have one thing in mind here over the next 3 weeks, folks, and that's the NFL draft and how it's going to impact fantasy football leagues and the betting markets. Until then, you're stuck with me, Seth Wilcock, and I'm joined by quite the cast of characters tonight. He's an entrepreneur in both the fantasy football and CBB betting landscape. The guy who's been going to be buying a big ass ranch house down there in Texas with his winnings, Eric's raised the Rome off. Eric, how are you feeling tonight, man?
We're feeling good. We just watched the UConn Huskies go back to back in the men's game. So able to catch my breath a little bit from these CBB streets. But instead of relaxing, I will instead turn all of my attention and efforts towards this upcoming draft class. We got a ton of amazing rookies coming into the NFL, and this is a really fun time of year.
100% with you. Thank you to the UConn Huskies. I lost a lot of money during this March Madness cycle. I did have a future on UConn to win it all, though. I think it was like plus 370. I took the chalk there, Eric, so I'm thankful for that. Thankful for Green Screens Media over there for leading me there. We're also joined by our QB1 tonight, fashion icon, heir to the Green Bay Packers ownership, Nicholas Hoover. What's up, Nick?
Daylight come and me want.
That's the energy I'm bringing tonight. We're feeling it. I'm doing my first rookie mock draft of the year tonight. So yes, sir. I didn't prepare at all. That's why I'm ready for you guys. Okay. No preparation. We're gonna do this together. All right. So let's get to it. Let's have a good show. How you doing?
I think it's better that, honestly, Hoove, that you don't prepare for something like this, because the internet likes to have their way with you in the comments on our YouTube channel on the regular. So I think the less time you have to prepare some hot takes, I think the better for you. But nonetheless, man, I'm happy to have you here back in the saddle.
That's why I took the ACT. I'm not going to say what I got on the ACT because I didn't prepare for it. Shit, I'll be honest, but
hey, you know, Hoove, you don't have to answer all the questions. It's actually sometimes better to not answer some of the questions I heard.
Really? See, I'm thorough. Maybe that was my problem. Maybe they knew that to fail me because I was very thorough.
Eric, is that how your SATs were? That like there are some that you didn't want to answer the question to because like a no answer was better than a wrong answer?
Yeah, that was exactly how it got down. When I took the SATs, they had just switched to that format. So
okay.
It was like the #1 talking point in all the prep classes. Like if you don't know, just move on to the next question because you will shoot yourself in the foot guessing wrong.
100%.
Hoove, you must have not got that memo, huh?
I didn't prepare at all. But I didn't prepare for this draft and I got through high school. So I'm going to get through this draft and go. hopefully, Hopefully it leads to great success. Great success.
Great success. Tonight on the show, as Hoove alluded to, we're going to be doing our first Dynasty Rookie Mock Draft of the season. We're going to talk ideal landing spots with those as well. We're also going to do a little front and center, talk about some news, because every freaking Wednesday, like, we do these shows weekly in the off season on Tuesdays, Eric, and it's like Wednesday, bomb drops, like, every time. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah, it seems to be the cadence that we've fallen into, right? Sometimes, if it's not Wednesday, it seems to be within hours of this show wrapping up, we're getting some crazy bombshell in the NFL streets. So we'll pick up last week's major news right off the top here, right?
Yep. Shout out to the IBT family for riding with us as well. We're rapidly approaching 1,000 subscribers. We have a couple giveaways planned for there. We'll be announcing those here in the coming weeks. But thank you guys so much for all the support. Seriously, it's been awesome over these last couple months. Looks like we have some familiar faces in the chat. Albert, good evening. IBT, good evening to you, Albert, man. Hope you're having a great Tuesday evening. We got Royal Slade coming over.
Hey.
From
the
19th hole. What's up, yo, Slade?
It's Masters week, boys. Any Masters shots that anyone wants to take here? I don't have any yet. I'm just be tailing everything Connor and Bo say. That's usually what I do. Eric, any opinion on the golf streets this week?
That is 100% the correct advice to give out. I am completely flying blind when it comes to golf, but we got Bo, we got Connor. They can shed a little light on where we need to place our action.
Yeah, they had a 55-1 last week. So shout out to them and be on Ash K. Batia there in Texas. We also have Rachel on the podcast tonight. She's going to be us. What's up, Rachel? Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Great to see you once again. Rachel just had a really good piece last week. It was her MySpace top 8 friends on the website, her favorite free agent moves. That was really cool. She's working on some other cool shit too. Yeah, Rachel's a creative bug. I like it. Royal saying Connor and Bo are arguing. I heard all week that shots were going to be fired on that program. They're going to be fired tonight as well. Don't you
That's
worry.
Wild.
Don't
That's
worry, wild. Royal. All right, guys, go ahead and jump into it. We did it, as we alluded to, have a little bit of news last week. So let's talk about Stephon Diggs going to the Texans here in front and center.
Sometimes taking that first step out the door is the hardest thing to do. Give it a chance, you'll be begging for more. Save the spot just for you. We're all somewhere in between.
How about you come to the
just
place?
Just try to have
some fun. Ain't gotta worry about nothing, not what it means. Come and give me another, cause the night is young. At least I so thought.
This just in. Breaking news. Front and center.
Front and center, Stephon Diggs is now a Houston Texan. There are many people happy in this world. Eric, you are one of them as a Houston Texans fan. The Bills, they'll be receiving a 2025 second round pick for Diggs. And the Texans, they get Diggs. They also get his voided contract after 2024, plus a 2024 fifth and sixth round pick. He's a wide receiver one for 4 straight years. Now he's down in Houston with CJ Stroud, down 2023, Eric, but who are the fantasy football winners and losers of this move to you?
Man, I mean, you have to start with some of the clear ones. CJ Stroud just absolutely has an embarrassment of riches in terms of the weapons at his disposal. You know, the word on the streets was that Houston was going to try to go out and add a top tier receiving option. And I think this was probably about the high end of the range in terms of the expectations there. So now, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find a stronger 1-3 in terms of wide receiver core, but then you also have secondary pieces like Dalton Schultz, who had a serviceable year, like Joe Mixon, who can do some things catching out of the backfield.
Noah Brown, even Stroud's, like, yeah, no, Noah yeah. Brown.
I mean,
even. No,
I don't know how many targets are going to be out there for Noah Brown, but you know, when his name was called, he absolutely played admirably. So have to feel very bullish on CJ Stroud. I mean, I don't know how much, practically speaking, we see him move up in the rankings, because he was already very, very high as it was. So kind of setting that aside, probably the biggest mover overall is another Dalton Kincaid for me. I think we're going to see a huge workload for him. You know, even in the event that we see a good amount of snaps for Knox, like we did at times last year, very much so Kincaid is going to be that kind of move option and really be there to gobble up all those abandoned targets left behind Diggs.
Yeah, fifth round is where he's been going on a lot of underdogs right now. I like Kincaid as like probably honestly like my tight end four behind Andrews, behind Kelsey, but behind Laporta. Like, is there anyone else you would put above him at this point, Hoove? Are you comfortable taking Kincaid in that four slot, or do you like someone like Kyle Pitts with Kirk Cousins? George Kittle's been consistent for the last couple of years as well.
I'm definitely going to be targeting Kincaid, but there's a few other like factors I want to like talk about is people like, say Josh Allen's washed now that Diggs is gone. And like, that's just such a lazy narrative. Cause I'm in the corner of that. It's very similar. Like when Aaron Rodgers lost Devontae Adams and he got shipped to Vegas, it's like Khalil Shakir is going to be Alan Lazard probably in this offense. You have Curtis Samuel probably being the Sammy Watkins in that scenario. Like they're probably going to draft someone in the late first, which is more value in this draft than what Christian Watson was when the Packers had to trade up to get him in the second. So like, I feel like this core that they're putting around Josh Allen is so much better than what even Aaron Rodgers had when you factor in that they have Dalton Kincaid already.
Yeah.
So like the great Game chemistry Cook. that Shalil, Khalil Shakir and Josh Allen are going to have, like, that just reminds me so much of Alan Lazard and Aaron Rodgers. So even if he's like only more of like a blocking wide receiver and he just kind of sets up things and they more transition to James Cook and like Dalton Kincaid and then just more of like a smaller offense than what they had with having Diggs out in the corner. Like I could see there still being so much value in this offense, especially when you know that Josh Allen has the rushing upside. So I'm not worried. I think it's a win for both sides, and that happens in football, and you just got to get over it that there's trades that factor both people. It's not like your sleeper trades that you send to people that you're just trying to blindside them and get everything for third round picks. Like sometimes things work out for both people. So I remember that.
Yeah. I'm taking my shot at James Cook. I'll say that right now. He is the perfect zero or hero RB target. You can get him right now. Like 3-4 turn is kind of right where James Cook is factoring out right now. I expect that to rise a little bit throughout the off season, but like if I can get James Cook as my running back one that late, like I'm fine with doing so. Here in the chat, we got Royal Say McBride when talking about the top tight ends. Yeah. I didn't have him above Kincaid. I think they're close. I'm lower than consensus, I think on McBride for me. I think I have him closer to tight end five for me personally. I've none of him right now in best ball.
I have him at two. So it's Laporta McBride for me. So right now.
And Rachel wants to know, where do we think Nico Collins and Tank Dell, where do we think they go? What do we think of them now? So before this, we are taking Nico Collins. We weren't really. We were kind of out at that ADP to begin with, Eric. Right at that 1-2 turn is where he started going in best balls a couple weeks ago. Tank Dell was still in that like early to middle of the third round. I would say now for me, like Nico third round, Stephon fourth round, Tank probably like fifth round. Do you argue with that? Anything different for you, Eric? Do you have that in a different order?
That's the same order that I have it in. And directionally speaking, I moved all these guys down like 4 to 7 spots in light of this news. Right. So, you know, it's one of those things where we're not going to have a, you know, a singular kind of primary or focal point in this receiving game. So, you know, it's hard to feel good taking a guy like that as your wide receiver one, right? So I think it moves Diggs and to a lesser extent Nico Collins out of that wide receiver one conversation. And I think it slides Tank Dell back to the kind of middle of the wide receiver three pack. But I mean, all of these guys are taking a slight hit on where I have them ranked.
Is Josh Allen still the quarterback one? I want to ask both of you, is he still the quarterback one? And if he is, are we comfortable with taking him at cost? He's going down in ADP now. He's fallen back more into the third round. I just saw him slide in the third round for the first time in a while. Would you be comfortable with that, Eric? Because you've kind of been hands-off Josh Allen. He's been in that mid to late second round so far this offseason.
Yeah, I still feel fine with him as the QB1, right? Like, you know, who've made a number of astute points about not only the current weapons he has around them, but what is very likely to be an incoming rookie in one of the deepest wide receiver classes we've seen in recent memory, right? So, like, I think his weapons around him are going to be fine. And apart from Jalen Hurts, who's really the only other name to consider, you'd be hard-pressed to find with another quarterback that has the touchdown equity that Josh has in the running game on a week-in and week-out basis, right? So, like, if you want to split hairs and put him behind Hurts, fine, right? But, like, they're both still in that top tier. To the former question, or I guess the latter question, no, I'm not taking him in the third round. I just generally don't draft quarterbacks that early. Maybe if he slips into, like, the fifth, I'd feel okay. But he's not falling there, so I never get him.
And I think Royal asking the question, how can Allen still be number one? And it's simply because there aren't a lot of quarterbacks that are going to still throw for as many yards as him. Like the last 4 years, he's had over 4,000 yards. Like, even if you want to decrease that a bit, Royal, and still give him, you know, like, instead of the 4.3 he had this year, maybe 4,100 yards, 4,000. That's still going to be enough when you also factor in he's going to have close to 30 touchdowns no matter who his targets are. And then also, like, this is another guy who consistently scores double-digit rushing touchdowns. What do you have this year? Like, fucking 15? Like, it was an insane amount. So, yeah, I get it, man. Like, Royal, he's talking about maybe taking Stroud over him, Hoove, and, like, I can't get behind that quite yet just because – it's all on Stroud's arm. And, like, in fantasy, to get those berserk games, you need the rushing touchdowns and you need the rushing yards as well.
I think that if Allen slid down to, like, QB5, that, like, that's the greatest value in the world. But I saw that on Keep Trade Cut that Stroud's now QB1 on there. And
for Dynasty,
And I think that's it's crazy because I'm just not gonna say he's over Mahomes. That's just not me. I have Mahomes as my QB1, Allen as my two, and then now he's gonna slide a little bit. I was trying to look it up while you were answering that to see, like, what Aaron Rodgers was, because I'm thinking it's gonna be like Aaron Rodgers in 2021, but with rushing upside, because we know Aaron didn't have legs at that point in his career. So, like, when you factor in that when they get in, you know Allen's gonna push it in. It's not like a push, but at least he'll be using his legs
QB to get power.
Touchdowns. QB power. And I think that there's so much value still in his, obviously, in his arm because he's Josh Allen. So I'm not worried. Like, I think he's QB5. I think that if CJ Stroud stays healthy, like, we also need to factor in one thing is that they traded for Stephon Diggs because they want to make sure that CJ Stroud isn't going to hit the sophomore slump. Like, that's a very big thing. Having a cushion of Stephon Diggs in your year two and having the help of Tank Dell, who you know is eventually going to be your wide receiver two, and then you slide Nico Collins, like Eric was alluding to, over into like that wide receiver three role or slash wide receiver two role.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that that's so much padding for CJ Stroud. So, like, I'm not going to push him there, but, like, obviously the upside for QB1 is there. I'm not going to, like, hate on it, but I'm just not going to get on that train yet. So they're both talented. They're both very talented. I would like both, you know, like, they're probably going to get drafted around the same run. You know, once one person drafts a quarterback, the next guy goes, the next guy goes, the next guy goes. So if I will get either of them, I'm cool with it.
From a dynasty lens, as Hoove pointed out, to Keep Trade Cut is kind of like the Bible right now of dynasty value. Speaking of dynasty value, though, we do have our dynasty trade value chart live on the site now. Our first tool. I'm super excited about it. Joseph Griffin, he's been with our site for many, many years now. Does a lot of back end stuff for us. He came out with this, and I think it's a very, very valuable tool. I'm going to drop that in the live chat to our new dynasty trade value chart, if anyone wants to check that out. And so what I wanted to say about CJ Stroud now being number one in the Keep Trade Cut rankings, as you said, Hoove, fucking trade him. If you like, you don't need to run and do it, but, like, Mags, our guy Mags, Eric, Dynasty Hot Seat, he put out on Twitter today, he got Jalen Hurts plus Achan for CJ Stroud. Like, I would do that in a heartbeat. I would probably rather have a wide receiver personally, but still, like that's a top 10 running back in dynasty.
I mean, look, any time that there is that rapid an adjustment to the market, you have to try to capitalize on it, right? Like, you know, if you want to make a case for CJ Stroud being ahead of Jalen Hurts in Superflex Dynasty, I think you can, right? But the fact that you can get essentially a similar tier player and a huge asset in return. Like these are the things that can really level up your dynasty team and the outlook overall. And the window on these things closed quickly, right?
A week from now,
people are going to be like, maybe we got a little excited. Let's slide them down to three, right? Which is still a fantastic ranking, all told.
Yeah. Fucking get that value when you can, guys. I think we broke it down, man. Like, there's still a lot of value on both of these teams. And if anything, this potentially creates more value on the board. Like generally, I wasn't drafting really Stephon Diggs at his ADP. Like, I would consider him now where he's going. And same with Tank and Nico. They're pushing them back down the board to where they're absorbable. And it makes Kincaid and James Cook just really, really valuable. So a lot of good stuff happening with this trade. Shout out to the fucking Texans, Eric. Your fucking boys making a push, man. Like, they're pushing the chips in the center. They're saying, we're going all in on this, kid. I love it.
They're pushing them all to the middle. They kind of got off to a slow start in free agency, but really since about day three of free agency, Nick Caserio has been putting on a masterclass of how to build a championship roster around a cheap generational quarterback.
That's how you win in this league.
But that's like where he came from. He came from New England, didn't he? So like, that's just kind of how they were. Like, they weren't big spenders. They kind of waited to see like who kind of fell through until day three. And then they kind of made some big moves and they really kind of made their roster that way. So you got to see it. Yeah. Like, I understand why he's building it. You also have to give credit to him for like changing the reputation around the Texans. Shout out. Yeah. Shout out. Okay.
Oh, and within Pico, man.
2 years, you're seeing players want to come to Houston. I mean, like, let's see like how the atmosphere like is for Diggs. We know how his teammates feel about Diggs. He can be a little bit of a party animal. And obviously Houston's more of a party city. He's going to have a great time.
Wait, Diggs is a party? And I didn't know that, to be honest with you. I didn't know that.
Well, he wanted more strip clubs in Buffalo after the loss. That was an iconic reference.
Allegedly.
And reckless Houston. Man. And obviously, we know James Harden's history with hanging out with strippers in Houston. So I think that it's match made in heaven.
Yeah.
So if he can keep
there's an establishment in Houston that retired James Harden's jersey when he moved out of town.
What's it called, Eric? What do you know?
I cannot. I'm not even sure if I know this place exists.
Okay. Fair enough. Eric doesn't want to get sued by someone or some establishment. Guys, we're gonna go ahead. We're gonna get into our Dynasty Rookie Mock Draft here. And back in the day,
they make them like this way back in the day. Took a shot, couldn't miss way back in the day. Couldn't predict how it could all change. Don't you ever forget how far we came. Remember how it was way back in the day.
God damn, we have some great drops on this program. That might be my very, very favorite one. We got a whole new catalog coming right now, guys, that Nate's been putting together for us. So appreciate Ism. He's our music guy. That's probably my favorite drop we have on this program. So we're going to look back in the day. We always like to make, when we do a new mock draft, we like to look back at old ones to try to learn something. Like, I think there's very little value in just doing a new mock draft if you're not going to look at old ones and look at past mistakes. So we're actually going to pull up our mock draft from last year. Or this is a real draft, rookie draft, excuse me, from last year. This is in the Lateral League. This is Herm's League. A lot of great people in the industry, very respected dynasty minds. Jeff Bell is in this. We got Troy King, Herm's, Toronto Dave, Jeff Crisco, Bo McBigtime. Yeah. I'm dishing out there. So I want to look at this and for our YouTube audience, like, what are some of the major standouts to you guys? Because I was looking back at this and I just saw so much value that fell down the board with people like Bryce Young getting so pushed up. Like, I got CJ Stroud, the 1-7. I had to trade up a pick to get him. I think I maybe gave up Richie James in the 108 to go to the 107. But there's still a lot of other value. Jahmyr Gibbs at the 105 feels like a great value. Kincaid at the 108 feels like a great value. Eric, any initial impressions from this?
Yeah, I think a lot of the names that you mentioned are the ones that really scream off the page, right? You know, there was a point at probably around this time last year where most the consensus was you kind of want to be in the top four or five picks, and then it just kind of falls off a cliff. And very clearly, there are a number of guys that were able to outperform that. And you dig through these, you know, late second, early third round picks. Tank Dell's out there. Devon Achane's out there. Puka Nacua's out there. Like, guys that made legitimate impact on championship rosters that were thought to be kind of dart throws, right? So, you know, you do your research and you're willing to plant your flags on a guy, and they can have a significant impact for you very quickly as a rookie.
You want to know the saddest thing?
First thing that stands out is Puka wasn't even drafted.
Not drafted. Yep.
That was literally what I was looking through. I'm like, hey, who is the smart guy in the room? Let's see. Like, someone probably took him in like the third. I'm like, strange. No. Vaughn, what? Tucker? Like,
and this was after the NFL draft too, that we did this. And I right here, I was at the 4-8, and I was like, man, like I will say there is a bit of a heavy tight end premium in this league. I think it's a 1.5 rather than a 1 tight end premium. But like, I took Washington, you know, at the 4-8, like terrible ass pick over Puka, and yeah, just terrible. But when you look at it too, I think one of my big takeaways here, boys, is like, there was a lot of fucking mediocre running backs taken in the second round. Chase Brown at the 205. Like, we love Chase Brown on this program, but might be a little early for him. Tank Bigsby at the 2-9. Dwayne McBride at the 2-10, who Dwayne McBride didn't even see a start this year. Wasn't even active in a game. Roshan, the 212. Like, there's a lot of fucking mid running backs. Keyshawn Vaughn, Sean Tucker, Zach Evans, Eric Gray, a bunch of fucking bums.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm not even seeing I'm spacing on the name, but out of Baltimore this year.
Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah.
He was largely undrafted. I'm not
even seeing him. That's crazy. Like, some of the most valuable guys weren't even drafted by some of the greatest minds in the industry. That makes me feel better about how much I miss. So that's great.
Yeah.
Abbott Akanda, I actually just traded him. I drafted him in the 210 in one league just because I really – like, I was worried about Breece Hall coming back right away. Like, this was, like, right before Dalvin Cook signed. When did Dalvin Cook sign in New York again? It was shortly
they were,
after.
They were well into camp, right? I think it was, like, approaching the preseason games, wasn't it?
So, I just really liked that pinball, Evan Akanda. And I could see, like, later in the season, like, that's kind of, like, why they got rid of Cook, is because, like, Evan Akanda was showing that he could be the two, and Breece really didn't need it. But now I traded him recently for the 305 in this year's draft to pair with Breece Hall. So they have that they have that 1-2 combination. So, like, I really like him. I think that, like, Kendra Miller, even though he didn't produce, like, he still has so much value going into this season. Getting him in first pick in the third round is great. Reed, that's a great pick.
Yeah, Jaden Reed's a great pick.
Josh Downs.
So I wanted Tank Dell bad at the 3-8. I was trying to move up to the 3-7 with Malcolm here to get the Tank Dell CJ Stroud stack, and I just couldn't get a deal done. Royal saying Reed and Laporta are good picks, and Rachel weighing in. This is great. I just read this, saying, looping back to Stephon Diggs, saying that there was a clip in the Vikings locker room back in the day saying, who would you not want to date your sister? And everyone said Stephon Diggs. So, yeah, you might be onto something. Who's detecting out there? I like it. Any other like takeaways for you guys? Like, I think, like, other than for me, like, I'm trying not to prop up running backs after seeing this. That was one of my big takeaways. I love that I got Rashee Rice in this draft at the 208, guys. And like, that feels like a value. And
I liked Rashee Rice at the time, but I wasn't in love with him. But I was like, a Chiefs wide receiver, like, that sounds good. Or someone who could go to the Chiefs, that sounds really good. So that's going to be something I keep in mind here. Like, I don't mind taking the shot on, like, the second round wide receivers as much as I was going running back earlier in the offseason.
This year's draft, like, you know that people are going to be filling up the second round with so many wide receivers, and that's where they're appropriate. They should be drafted, but you know that there's going to be those dart throws where people are going to be like, this is my RB1. I'm going to take my stab on a Braylon Allen or a Jalen Wright or someone. Like, there's going to be some dart throws on running backs in the second round, but I think that when we look back the same way we do this year, I think that we're going to be kind of looking at the same thing with this running back class.
A lot of shitters too, just in general, in this rookie mock draft from last season, Eric, like Quinn Johnson at the 1-9 and like pretty much most of the third and fourth round. Again, Puka didn't get drafted in this. So like, it's just a bunch of honestly, like, guys who just did not perform last year. And like, sometimes it takes a couple of years, but I mean, this whole fourth round, there's not one guy you could say you'd want on your dynasty team right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the nature of rookie drafts, though, right? Like, it gets very, very speculative.
Yeah.
Usually at kind of like the midpoint of the second round, sometimes even earlier, sometimes a little bit deeper, right? So, you know, not all that atypical. You know, you mentioned Quinn Johnson was kind of a shitter there. I mean, he was just a shitter of a draft pick, right? Like, the Chargers forgot to evaluate whether or not he can catch the ball. And that's an important skill to possess as a wide receiver. So, you know, given the draft capital, I can see the line, sort of how that team got there at the 109. But yeah, I mean, that's probably the single most disappointing of all the picks. Honestly, looking up and down this board, like, I'm not trying to fluff you up or anything here. I think you might have had the best draft out of this lot. I would feel
that.
Real good about your four picks of compared to just about anybody else's on this board.
Yeah, only two of them really did anything. Like, I you know, Rashee Rice and CJ Stroud. Oh, I guess I had Ty J. Spears.
Yeah, you got Spears in there.
Yeah, I took like Hutchinson again. Xavier Hutchinson over Puka. Like, there were some bad decisions made. Don't get me wrong.
Literally, what, all but four players on this board, you should say.
Yeah.
You know, sure. should have gone behind Puka Nacua. So, look, I mean, like, For however much analysis we want to put into it and however much we want to pour over the tape and, you know, try to play out best case scenarios, like, some of this is, you know, is speculative in nature, and you're not going to get every player right, and there's going to be guys that surprise on both ends of the spectrum, right? So, yeah in the vacuum of would you rather have Xavier Hutchinson or Puka Nacua, obviously it's a clear choice. But as a fourth-round guy moving into a situation in Houston where it wasn't really clear who, I mean, forget who the two would be, who the one would potentially be in Houston.
Right.
Like, I can see why you would want to prospect around in those hills.
Hell yeah.
I will add one more thing. And yeah. I think the best two picks in the last round are the last two picks. Honestly, I really like Nate's Clayton Tune pick. I think he's still rosterable, just because if you have Kyler Murray, you should definitely be having Clayton Tune as your two. Like, if you don't, they have Desmond Ridder now, but I think Clayton Tune showed enough that he could definitely beat out Desmond Ridder for
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know.
I think that. And then obviously A.T. Perry, like, I think that he showed enough last year. Like, they're still going to be looking for a two next to Olave, but I think that I like.
He could be a three. Perry.
Yeah, he could be a three.
All right, guys, let's go ahead. Let's jump into this year's draft here after analyzing last year's.
Yes.
I'm going to be sitting at the 103. We are going to draft with some AI. Rachel's going to help us out. She's going to be at the 106, going to be sniping Eric at the 107, and then Hoob at the 110. So we have someone in the beginning, the end, and the middle. If there's any bullshit picks by the AI, too, we'll make sure that we're not allowing that. We're going to go ahead and start this thing. All right, and I'll make sure that we're moving through here. All right. Marvin Harrison first off the board, and I don't think that's – I wouldn't necessarily say that's a bullshit pick, Eric. Like, we could see that in some leagues where people are, you know, content with their quarterback.
Yeah, I definitely you could see that happen, right? For me – If I don't want Caleb Williams with the 101, then I'm very aggressively shopping that pick. But In just about any other draft class, Marvin Harrison Jr. as the 101, even in a super flex, would still be a clear choice. So, I mean, he's right on the cusp there. I don't think you can really find anyone that would argue against it, while it might not be my particular style.
So I'm up at the 103 here, and Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams off the board. That's how it's going to go, I would say, 99% of drafts. I know there are some people who are getting hyped about Neighbors potentially over Marvin Harrison, but I will go ahead and I will take Neighbors here personally. I'll take this, and then I'll let the clock start running. Why I like Malik Neighbors here specifically is you don't get alpha wide receivers often coming into the NFL. I just think this class happens to have three of them. And right now, not knowing the landing spots of the quarterbacks and even potentially knowing the landing spots of the quarterback, Neighbors feels like the safest bet to me. Like we've seen quarterbacks just kind of die out after a year. They can lose so much more value to me, like kind of what we saw with Bryce Young here the past year. And like, don't get me wrong, I like Drake May, I like Jaden Daniels, I like JJ McCarthy, but to me it's like whoever gets to Minnesota, I think, is the quarterback two of this class. And like Drake London, I think, is a great example of like, even if things don't go well for your high profile wide receiver, the value is just going to stick around. We had our dynasty buys and sells, and you know, Drake London is a great buy right now and a great sell at the same time, because his value just kind of sticks around. So I think right now, I don't need to wait to see the landing spot for Neighbors, because I think it's either going to be the Chargers at five, assuming the Cardinals stay put. And dude, like Justin Herbert, Jim Harbaugh, wide receiver one on a rookie deal. Neighbors is a guy who works out of the slot a lot of the time, and they don't have a slot guy now. Like they have Joshua Palmer, who's kind of a burner on the outside. They have Quentin Johnson, who's an outside receiver as well, but can't really catch. So a lot of questions in general there, but I think give me the wide receiver one, hopefully for the Chargers, in Malik Neighbors here.
I can get down with that. I think that out of all the possibilities – for Malik Neighbors, that he's going to end up being a wide receiver one somewhere. Whether that means that someone trades up, whether that means the Giants take him, but I'm pretty sure he already came out and said that if the Giants take him, that they also needed someone to throw it to him.
That would be worst case scenario, would be he would go to the Giants. But even that, like, he's going to get everything. He would get absolutely everything there. So I wouldn't hate it that much if he did go to the Giants. So I take Neighbors there at the 103. We have Jaden Daniels going off the board at the 104. Rome Odunze at the 105. Drake May at the 106 to Rachel, which I think, you know, I don't know if Rome is going to go ahead of Drake May a lot, but I think he's going to go 105, 106. I think Drake May is a great pick at 106. Rachel potentially getting the next Vikings quarterback. I know she's a Minnesota fan. Eric, you went with Brock Bowers at the 107. Talk me through that pick. Why Bowers there? And this is tight end premium as well.
Yeah, so part of it is the tight end premium, right? And the other part is kind of simplistic and practical in nature, which is I think there's a pretty clear tier break in the rookie rankings right at Bowers, right? Actually, I selected 107 in this mock draft because I've seen some JJ McCarthy hype creep him up into the top six, and I was hoping to catch Rome Odunze here at the 107, but clearly it didn't play out that way, thanks in large part to the AI. But Brock Bowers is a guy that I think can come in and, you know, at least be on a similar trajectory to that of Sam Laporta, especially if you consider sort of where he's falling in most mock drafts and the type of teams that are around there, right? Like if we're talking about a situation where he makes his way to Cincinnati, for example, that would obviously be an ideal landing spot. Certainly. And one that's not like entirely out of the realm of possibility based on his capital and where the Bengals sit. So there are just so many ways that a rookie tight end of his profile can contribute very quickly, right? Getting onto the field is kind of the hard part for that position. So once he's out there, once he shows that he can get through his route tree and, you know, do the necessary blocking, I think that he can be on a similar sort of arc to what we saw with Laporta and the Lions last season.
ideal landing spot for you? Would you? I'm seeing a lot of Jets love out there on the internet right now for Brock Bowers. Is it New York or is there somewhere else?
I would probably circle Cincinnati, but I mean the Jets are okay. A fine consolation prize, right? There are a number of teams that need a toolsy pass catcher like him that are going to be right around that part of the draft.
I know what Hoove's going to say.
I'll shoot my shot because I'm going to place some money on it because I'm excited. This is my first time I'm going to be going to Michigan to the draft, you know, and I found out that it's legal to sports bet in Michigan. So I actually could play some bets on the draft. So I'm going to bet because I saw that you can place a bet like per pick, all the way through 10. And so I feel like at 9, someone's going to trade up with the Bears and Brock Bowers is going to go at 9. To the Colts, and the Colts are going to move up.
Yeah, you've been on that train.
The Bears are going to move down to 15, and they're going to draft Jared Verse around there because I'm just seeing so much Jared Verse to the Bears. Like Jared Verse, at one point, I thought he could have been like a top 5 pick, but obviously things didn't shake out that way, and like he's sliding a little bit, but still, Dick, that's kind of where he was going to go last year, and he contributed to Florida State being undefeated this year. So, but with me being on the clock, I should probably take my pick. We see JJ McCarthy going off the board. I'm going to continue on with the quarterbacks, and I'm the Michael Penix train. I have finally done it. After his pro day, I have changed my ways from Saul to Paul, baby. I am on it. Big Penix energy, okay? I was late to the party, but I should have RSVP'd, but I'm here now, and it's good, okay? He showed he had so much athleticism in his pro day that I never saw before on his tape. I thought he would be a Jameis Winston, that he was going to just overcompensate with his arm talent, but I saw something in him that I think that other teams are going to see. He's going to be a first-round pick, probably, and, like, if they're talking about Bo Nix being a first-round pick, Michael Penix showed so much. Like, I mean, I forgot who made the point. I wish I could give him credit. But they talked about why did Puka Nacua slide so much? It's because he was injury-prone at BYU. And obviously, he was good this year. So, like, we need to get that narrative about Michael Penix being injury-prone out of the way. Like, because he showed last year he was good. And that was more like at Indiana that he was getting banged up. But if he can slide to a team that has a good offensive line, I'm all in on Penix. And at Superflex League, you know that he's going to be a starting quarterback at some point.
Wow. The big move by Hoove for Michael Penix at the 110. I've been seeing him getting more steam now. At one point, we were seeing him go all the way in the third round. He's since kind of shifted back towards that like early second to mid second. Hoove, you're taking the shot at the 110. McCarthy goes at the 109. 108 is Brian Thomas Jr. Eric, thoughts on Hoove's pick of Penix and then Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin going at the 111, the 112, seemingly chalked there by the AI at the end of the first.
Yeah, to your latter question, the bots are definitely following highest or best player available, right? So this is right where we see Worthy and Franklin typically coming off the board. These are guys that, while they're in kind of that sort of third tier of wide receivers in this year's class, would probably be the wide receiver 2 or 3 in at least the last,
yeah,
I don't know, dozen or so rookie class, right? So guys that are very talented in their own right. In terms of Hoove making the move for Penix, I'm completely here for it, right? Like the format is one thing to consider. Quarterbacks always carry a ton of value in Superflex. But I think there's a ton of things about Michael Penix's game that translate very seamlessly and very quickly to the NFL level, right? So the real question with him has to do with the draft capital that gets spent on him, mm-hmm. and in turn that is informed by his injury history, right? Like, great to see him get through a season, healthy and be able to produce at a very high level last year. But this is the kind of stuff that's going to weigh in the minds of NFL front offices when they are considering, do they want to spend a first round or a second round pick on him even, right? So in terms of the talent that he has on the field, especially or particularly his pocket presence, right? His ability, sure, to, you know, make those kind of Tom Brady-esque sort of slides up and down and back and forth in the pocket to just slowly maneuver around pressure. Like that is a very, very transferable skill at the NFL level. So he comes in with that. It gives him an advantage. But the real question is just how quickly he sees the field as a function of how high the team that picks him ultimately takes him in the draft.
All right. So Michael Penix, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, and then to start the second round, Jonathan Brooks and Adonai Mitchell are going off the board. And man, I was hoping I could get a Mitchell to fall to me, maybe an Xavier Worthy. It didn't happen. So really here, I feel like if you're drafting in this early second round, you have a pick between really like these late day one, early day two wide receivers like Mitchell, maybe a Worthy. He's getting a lot of buzz now after the 40. But then like a Jonathan Brooks. And for me specifically, I'm looking at two players, Trey Benson at the 2-3. I don't think it's bad value. Trey Benson to me, I think will be the RB1. He'll be the first drafted running back in this draft just because he's healthy. Jonathan Brooks, who we've talked about this offseason, is just not healthy right now. And I think one of these guys goes to the Cowboys. I think it's Brooks or, you know, maybe they keep him in Texas, or maybe they go with Trey Benson had a really nice 40-yard dash, really nice combine performance in general. However, I'm going to shift and I'm going to go because I think this is a tier break at wide receiver. There's one more wide receiver I can make the case for, and it's Ladd McConkey. Ladd McConkey is the technician in this draft class. I think Ladd McConkey, I don't know if he'll quite get in the first round. I'm hoping he does, because if not, I think he goes 33 to Carolina. But I'm going to say my favorite landing spot here for Ladd McConkey would be San Francisco. They got to start resetting the clock here potentially if they're not going to be paying Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk is very much an X wide receiver. They don't have a true slot wide receiver. Debo works out of the slot quite a bit. But like, they need a little more firepower, I think. Like, they were relying too many times down the stretch last year on their third and fourth wide receivers who just, they're guys, you know, they're just guys. And so I think Ladd McConkey could bring something to this Kyle Shanahan offense. And we know that Kyle Shanahan wants to run a timing based offense. Ladd McConkey is a timing based wide receiver. Definitely a little bit of questions about his health, had a hard time staying healthy here at Georgia the past year, but I like Ladd McConkey. So I'm going to take him here and hope potentially he ends up with our guy, Brock Purdy.
I would have, if I was at the 111 and someone took Michael Penix at 110, I would have taken Ladd McConkey over Xavier Worthy. I would have taken Ladd McConkey over Troy Franklin. And I would have taken him over Xavier Mitchell or Adonai Mitchell. So I love that pick. I'm all for it. Like, if you just watch him perform, just like I wanted to go watch Brock Bowers highlights and I just was taken away by Ladd McConkey. And I'm like, okay, this guy can ball. So I'm here for it. You got Neighbors and McConkey. It looks like on paper right now, you're starting out hot. So,
and that's like a realistic start. That is a really realistic start from the 103 or the 102. Like, because probably one of those wide receivers are going to, or running backs are going to get taken before that. And potentially Michael Penix Jr. could go before that as well to a quarterback needy team here. After I take McConkey, it's Blake Corum all the way up to 204. Yeah, that sounds about right for Blake Corum. Trey Benson at the 2-5. Xavier Leggett to Rachel here at the 2-6. I think that's a really good place for Xavier. I think that's right where I've been seeing him, is kind of in the dead center of the second round. I know you're a big Leggett guy, Eric. So what are the vibes telling you here at 2-7? What's your analysis telling you?
It was telling me that I might luck into Ladd McConkey falling into my lap and that Xavier Leggett was my consolation prize. Not surprisingly, the IBT crew is putting together a pretty sharp draft board right now. Oh man, this is a literal no man's land that I didn't want to find myself in. I'm gonna go with Keon Coleman. This is a player whose draft stock has kind of cooled off a little bit over the last couple of months, but you know, he's a player that, you know, he can win contested catches. You know, he can separate down the field. He's got the size speed combination that you're really looking for. There are a lot of different things about the game that he's bringing to the next level that should be able to apply as soon as day one, right? So with rookies, especially when you're talking about the, you know, the kind of back half or back third of the second round, I'm really looking for guys that have a more defendable path to playing time. And I think you can make a solid case that Coleman should be, you know, near the top of the depth chart, almost regardless of where he's landed, right? He should be competing for wide receiver two, wide receiver three looks pretty quickly. So hoping that he gets on the field quickly and that he'll pay off his 2.7 capital.
Okay. Bo Nix then at the 2.8, the fifth quarterback off the board. Roman Wilson at the 2.9. Hoob, did you want any of those guys, and how are we feeling here at the 2.10?
This is tough. This is actually like this what I wasn't moment. Yeah, I wasn't really expecting this one. I think it really kind of comes down to who I think is my RB2 in the draft, and I think I'm going to go with...
You going to keep it on brand?
I'll keep it on brand.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll go with Braylon Allen. Like, At one point, I would have taken him in the first round. Like, this is when you just kind of have to shoot your shot with a bunch of guys. They all kind of blend in. I'm not going to try to sell you on a prospect and just say a bunch of shit that you could say about every other prospect in this draft, like the athleticism, whatever. Braylon Allen, he has some limitations in his game that you just have to talk about if you're going to talk about
Braylon Allen. Apparently, he can't catch passes is what we've learned lately. Yeah,
and that's accurate, but that's also not the Badgers' offense. And I want to make that very clear. Like, he kind of reminds me of he would be perfect in the Seahawks running back group. That's my kind of fit. For Braylon Allen.
I was hoping that you were gonna go with the Ken Walker comp, right? Because that was the read on him coming into the draft, was that he didn't really catch passes all that well. But realistically, they never really asked him to do it, right? So like you have to keep in mind the scheme might not ask them to do things that are later spun as kind of holes in their game.
Like, I feel like any analyst or scout, whatever you want to call people in the community, it's like either they're going to root for talent or they're going to root for like logic and go off of things like, can he block? If he can block, he's going to be on the field. If he can't block, he's not going to be on the field. And then there's people that look for like hope for that that his talent's going to shine through. And those are the people that get burnt more often. And it was either Jalen Wright or Braylon Allen. And I just kind of had to keep it on brand right there. They're both kind of in the same boat, in my opinion. So
I like it. I like the call. I like the call. Braylon Allen goes at the 2.10. Jalen Wright at the 2.11. Jatavion Sanders at the 2.12. Spencer Radler at the 3.1. Do we think that's a legit pick, you guys? Do you think like Spencer Radler could go at 3.1?
Yeah, no.
I mean, like, it's one of those things where, like, at this point in the draft, you're fishing, right? So, like, there are different outs and different ways that a team can get Rattler on their roster and, you know, kind of smooth out some of those rough areas in his game. And if you ended up spending a third round pick and, you know, a season or two on your taxi squad for that, it's still a worthwhile investment, right?
That's kind of like the Hendon Hooker pick a year ago.
Yeah, exactly. Which I didn't like the Hendon Hooker pick, and I don't like Spencer Radler there either.
This is what taxi squads are for, right? Like, yeah. It's where you put your project guys.
Yeah, in the third round, I still think there's some value. I'm gonna keep it on brand for myself. I almost slipped up here. I'm gonna go Malachi Corley.
The King.
Bring him home. Give me a third stud rookie wide receiver. If I can get Corley here, I think he and my fit. Bring him home, baby. Bring him to the Steelers. This is our guy. This is who we need to complement George Pickens. Put him on a fucking slant route. This guy can take one, man. I think Malachi Corley, he's not as hyped up in the fantasy community right now because he didn't test at the combine. I don't know if I totally agree with that decision by him. We know he has battled some injuries throughout the last year, but I like Corley a lot. I think he's going to be a great pro. I like Corley, man. I really do. I've talked about him.
Ripped my heart out with this Malachi Corley pick. I was banking with the bots preceding me, he might slip his way here. You're right, he didn't test the combine, but he showed out at the Senior Bowl. And the thing that really makes me like him as a third round pick is kind of lazy, but there's a defendable case that you can comp him to the way that Deebo Samuel is utilized in San Francisco. And you talk about the most prolific coaching tree across the NFL. Like, there are so many Shanahan disciples out there that can go out and pluck a Malachi Corley and find creative ways to use him. So there are a number of different teams that should have their eye on him. And it's hard to find that kind of player in the third round of a rookie draft.
Yeah, Malachi Corley going at the three. Thanks for correcting me on the subtly, Eric. You corrected me on I've actually never heard his name pronounced. So glad to hear it there. Jalen Polk at the 3-4, Bucky Irving the 3-5. And then Rachel's going to go with Audric Estime at the 3-6. She says, I don't give a fuck about a 4-7-2. I'm going with Audric. Eric, how are we feeling here at the 3-7? Still some really, really nice values. I think specifically at the wide receiver position where we have a lot of love for Devontae Walker still out there right now. And also Ricky Parcell is kind of moving up draft boards as well.
Yeah, and that's the direction I'm going with Ricky Pearsall, a player that a lot of the advanced analytics really, really like. You know, he played well in his time at Arizona State with Jaden Daniels a few seasons ago. You know, has the kind of adequate size that you're looking for out of you know, more of like a flanker type of wide receiver. So. Yeah, you know, in the third round, looking for a guy that can, you know, make an impression on the coaching staff in camp and make his way onto the field quickly. And I think, you know, as we get a little bit closer, and especially after we learn landing spots, right? Like, he's the type of guy that I think NFL front offices can fall in love with, and we might see his draft capital raise up a little bit. And if we're running this rookie mock draft post NFL draft, he might be a guy that could move up, you know, 6, 8, 9 spots overall.
Favorite landing spot?
No.
I got one.
Favorite landing spot. I could see him as an interesting piece in Jacksonville.
Okay. Okay. I think there's definitely a void there. Who do you think for Parcell?
I got your Steelers.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I think that's great.
The Steelers need a wide receiver.
I would prefer Corley. I would definitely prefer Corley. Yeah, I think right now our wide receivers, two is Van Jefferson, and three, we're running out Miles Boykin right now. So that's where the lures are. And speaking of where they are, Hoov, you're about to be back on the clock here in just a second. We have Will Shipley going off the board after Eric's pick of Parcell. And my guy, Ray Davis. Listen, so... For some reason, I think I just blacked out a minute ago. Like, I was considering, like, taking Ray Davis. And I was like, I think Ray Davis will make it back to me maybe. No, he definitely didn't. I just want to touch on Ray Davis. I think he could be the value of rookie drafts if you're going to do it pre-NFL draft. If you're one of those fucking sickos who just needs to get that sweat on here and do this rookie draft soon. Ray Davis at the 3-9, I think that's very realistic. This guy... Like, I think we did a combine winners and losers article, me and you, and Ray Davis was my biggest winner. I don't love the age. We know this guy hopped around from Temple to Vandy, then to Kentucky, but still a really good pass catcher. He showed that at the combine, also had 95 receptions throughout his career, and then had probably the sickest Deuce Staley drill I've ever seen at the combine as well. It was top 10 in the 40-yard dash, 4.52. I love Ray Davis. Your thoughts on Davis and who you're picking here at 3-10, and are you heartbroken?
I'm not heartbroken. Actually, I had 4 in my queue, and I wasn't going running back here, so I'm going to go with my pick. And I feel like Brendan Rice is a match made in heaven with the Chicago Bears. I feel like they're going to draft Caleb Williams, and we all know that they're going to be looking for another wide receiver. Some people are thinking that it's going to be Roma Dunze. I just don't think you need it. You got DJ Moore. You could definitely have someone that's a Caleb Williams guy coming into building, and this could be the Tank Dell pick. This could be the guy that the organization asked Caleb Williams, who do you want? And they say, I want my guy. I want Brendan Rice. And so Brendan Rice being someone in room or in organization with someone like Caleb Williams – I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with the chemistry. Hopefully, that's where things shake out. So, right now, if Brandon Rice ends up Chicago at the 310, that should be a smash pick.
All right. All right. I like the play there from Hoove at the 310, going with a little bit of a legacy play in Jerry Rice's son. We're making the back way out of the third round here. Jaheim Bell, Cody Schrader.
Jeff Bell.
4-1 then is going Theo Johnson, some tight ends coming off the board here, and Ben Cena. I think those are good picks there, honestly. I think those are all very likely picks. Maybe a little early on Jaheim Bell. I like Jaheim Bell, though, actually. All right, so I'm on the board here. I'm at the 4-3, and boys, I'm at a fucking crossroads. Listen, Devontae Walker's on the board. I don't love Devontae Walker, honestly. Like, I don't love him as much as the rest of the community, I think, does. Didn't really see the pure speed that I think we wanted the combine. Didn't get the full season in. Thanks, NCAA. We appreciate that. But I love Isaac Garendo, but I think I could probably get him potentially after the draft. Isaac Garendo's, we talked about him on our rookie sleeper episode last week. The dude ran a 4.33 40-yard dash. He weighs 221 pounds. 11-foot, 2-inch like broad jump. Guy's a beast. Like, I don't think he that necessarily translates to the tape. Like, you don't see this guy. Like, he's not a Devon Achane type of player when you watch him. But so I'm really thinking about Garendo. But I think I can wait on him, potentially get him wait later. So I'm gonna go Devontae Walker here and just continue to stack decent wide receivers. I don't know even where would be a good place for Devontae Walker. I'd probably say, like, to me, he's probably, would you guys still have him day two, Devontae Walker, probably? Especially with the comp picks in the third round.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he could sneak in there. I think he's probably a bit closer to a day three guy, but
early.
He's right on the cusp, right?
Let's go Devontae Walker, 4th round, 103 to the New England Patriots. I think that would be a good fit for him. And that would make me very happy here at the 4-3.
Yeah.
They ain't got shit, man. They got
Do you think because they got burnt on Boutte that they won't do it with Walker? Because that's kind of like the same thing. It's like there's so much talent what could be untapped, like with both guys. I don't know if they'd want to get burnt on Walker.
I mean, they've kind of been burnt with every wide receiver they've ever drafted. So
and that was,
I mean,
Bill. That was Bill. Who, yeah.
It's a lot of Bill guys. I don't know. So we'll see. I don't know. I'll have to take a look on, like, who owns a few third rounders before I make an estimated guess on that.
Okay. Oh, it's always the Rams and the 49ers. They're just stacking up compensatory picks left and right.
Yeah, dude. No.
If Walker was the 3 behind Ayuk and behind Debo and Ayuk, that would be insane.
All right. So going off the board, we got Cade Stover, tight end, and Jamari Thrash after Jalen McMillan. Jamari Thrash, a guy I know who was targeting here, who we touched on him in our rookie sleeper episode, but I know you like him, speedy wide receiver out of Louisville.
Goddamn quick feet. He's got them quick feet. He's like, boom, boom. Oh, I love that. I like players that make me like watching football, like Lamar Jackson, Devin Achane, people that like to make people miss. And Thrash is that guy, man. I can't wait to see what he does in the NFL. Like, if he ended up with the Ravens, oh, that'd be so nasty. But I'll keep my eye on him. I might be heading back to Wisconsin on day 3. So we'll see.
All right. After Thrash, Tyrone Tracy Jr. goes to Eric. Really, honestly, a little bit surprised to see this pick here. How do you feel about Tyrone Tracy here? Purdue running back hasn't got a lot of love this off season though.
Yeah. So practically speaking, I probably would have gone Garendo here if I was actually drafting for a team, but you sort of checked all the boxes in terms of my analysis on him. So didn't want to talk about him and hit those points all over again, but moreover, just wanted an opportunity to talk about Tracy. he's someone that isn't getting a whole lot of attention in Dynasty or in draft circles. And he's a guy that I think kind of fills an interesting role. He's a converted wide receiver from his time at Iowa. He went over to Purdue, like you mentioned. And as you might expect with a converted wide receiver, he's a very good pass catcher out of the backfield, and he is lethal in open space, right? So, like, when we get down to these, you know, these fourth or last round rookie picks, especially at the running back position, I like going for guys that have kind of a specialty, right? That do one or two things very, very well. Sure. Because now for three picks in a row, I'm talking about how that is going to solidify their path to playing time, right? Like, I want guys that are going to see the field. Like, I know that there is a lot of Blake Corum love, but you talk about a perfect fit for what is lacking for the LA Chargers. Tyrone Tracy can come in and be a perfect counterpunch to what they have with Gus Edwards.
Hell yeah. No, I think you're locked on there, man. I haven't seen a lot of Tracy love on the internet, Eric. So potentially the first Tyrone Tracy love I've seen this year. But
I think you should change Nesbitt to Luke McCaffrey. I really do. I'm not
okay.
I can't believe Dalen Holker got sniped. That sucks. But Luke McCaffrey seems appropriate more than that right there.
Yeah, and then your guy Dalen Holker, who you touched on in our Rookie Sleepers episode last week, he goes at the 4.9. You're sniped once again. Where do you go with the 4.10 to close this out?
Well, I had three guys, or four. I had four, actually. I had Luke McCaffrey, so I'm glad that he went, because that's more appropriate. Dalen Holker, and that was my safety net. But now I got two wide receivers I'm looking at, and I value them very, very similarly. I got Javon Baker and Jermaine Burton, who I talked about in an article previously, out of Alabama. So it's really a dime a piece. I think I'm going to go with Baker right here, out of UCF. Like, I'm seeing comps out of Keon Coleman. I feel like this might be the value of the draft. Looking back in the fourth round, like, this is a stacked class. Like, the fact that we're seeing Corley all the way to Baker between the 3.3 and the 4.10, that's a very close tier right there alone. So the fact that it's spread out within two rounds, you know you're walking away with someone with talent this draft. So I'm glad I got Baker. I'm glad I got one of these talented wide receivers. I got two, actually. So I'm curious to see, like, who rounds out this draft. But I got Penix, Braylon Allen, Brendan Rice, and Javon Baker. I feel like that's a squad on my taxi squad.
Eric, how do you feel about Javon Baker? I've always kind of been like, I think in the fourth round, I'm okay with him, but he's gotten a lot of hype out there in the Dynasty streets this offseason. Like, I don't really get the hype. He's supposed to be a deep ball specialist, but not the fastest guy in the world. Ran a 4.54 and not the biggest guy in the world either. Like, I don't know. I just haven't seen it with Baker as much as everyone else has, but split the difference here. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, price adjusted, I think it's a phenomenal pick, right? Like, you know, obviously I was reaching for Tracy just so I could kind of stump for him, but the point still persists. Like, his skill set is one that is hyper specialized. So there are plenty of teams right now that could use a guy that can go out and get contested catches and haul in jump balls and be able to use his body to box out defenders in the red zone, right? So if we're talking about a guy in Baker that, you know, can fill and plug an immediate hole in an NFL roster, like, that's going to get him on the field sooner, and that's what we want in these speculative rookie picks.
Certainly Javon Baker goes, and then Isaiah Davis, he's been getting a little bit of love out there too, and then we'll go with Arizona's Jacob Koenig here. Counting, sorry, terrible pronunciation today. But yeah, I think that's going to kind of round us out here, guys. We can each, you know, run through our teams and discuss a little bit of analysis, how we feel post-draft, and we'll close us out with that. I got Malik Nabers at the 103, Ladd McConkey at the 203, Malachi Corley, excuse me, at the 3.3, Devontae Walker at the 4.3, I feel really good with this team, guys. I didn't get any running backs. That's kind of a bummer for me, but there's still some guys. If there was, this was only a four round draft in my league, that I could take the shot on in free agency, burn some fab, try to get some guys to put on the practice squad. But I really like the value that I got here. I wasn't planning on taking Corley. I wasn't planning on taking McConkey or Walker, but just kind of how it shaked out here for me, Eric.
Yeah, well, clearly I like your team a lot. As I mentioned, you sniping me a few times over, right? So definitely feel like you had a pretty good day in the office. I'm kind of lukewarm on my team. I'm very happy with Brock Bowers in a tight end premium.
Yeah,
I'm not thrilled about walking out of a Superflex rookie draft in one of the deeper quarterback classes in recent memory without a quarterback, right? That certainly isn't how I would have drawn this one up. I'm just not really a Bo Nix guy. So, you know, he was sort of the last option there after I plucked Bowers. And, you know, everyone else is, you know, kind of speculative or more kind of landing spot dependent, right? So, you know, there's upside baked into that if it goes well, or I could be looking at some pieces that I might need to hang on to or try to bundle up in a trade later.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Question here from Rachel in the chat. Would you have taken McCaffrey over Thrash? I think it's personal preference at that point.
I would have taken Thrash.
Especially not knowing the landing point. I'm close on both of them, I would say. So no argument for me. I think, Eric, would you take McCaffrey over Thrash?
I'll go Thrash, right? I think McCaffrey's a bit more of a project at the NFL level as well, right? And he's kind of the antithesis of my type, right? Like, he does a lot of things good to very good.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of guys in the NFL who you can say that about, right? So he's just kind of in a more crowded space, and he's going to have to take a bit more time to break through than maybe some of the more specialized functions and capabilities.
Hoove, I want to move to your draft to close us out here. At the 110, you go Michael Penix, then Braylon Allen at the 210, Brendan Rice 310, and then Javon Baker at the 410. I actually weirdly like your draft, Hoove. I weirdly like your draft. Like, weirdly. I don't know if I'm
so surprised, my guy.
I was surprised with the Penix at 110 pick. I don't know if I have the stomach for that, but like, I like it now because you got a good running back in the second round. I've been on the Braylon Allen hype train all offseason as well with you. We both took a little bit of a integrity hit during the combine when he looked like shit. But and then you like rounded this out with two very high upside wide receivers. Like, I like what you did here, Hoove. How do you feel about it?
I feel like if I compared this team and looked at it from last year's, like we did earlier, I feel like it would be like Will Levis at 110. That seems like the same kind of value.
Sure.
Braylon Allen would be like a Rashawn Johnson around there. Great value for the season. And then Brendan Rice, that easily could be like the Tank Dell of the pick. Like, we saw Tank Dell go around there earlier. And then Javon Baker, like, I'm not going to say he's Puka, but you know, maybe he is Puka. I don't know. But like, I feel like just how it started, and I finished out with Baker, it was a dime a piece between all these wide receivers left. So overall, like, it's very well-rounded for a team that's drafting in the 110. That's not bad. That's not bad at all. So,
some other players that didn't even go off the board here that if you have a fifth round, you could be targeting, or just off a free agency that I would be burning a shit ton of fab for, like Dylan Laube. I love Dylan Laube out of New Hampshire. We've hyped him up this offseason. Kamini Vidal as well out of Troy. He's been getting some love at the running back position. Frank Gore Jr., we touched on him. There's a lot of Jermaine Burton. Like there's a lot of names, Malik Washington, that we haven't even got to, Eric. Johnny Wilson that I think, you know, are still on a lot of people's radar here.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you haven't heard us and everyone else say it ad nauseum, this class is super deep. So there are going to be some interesting rookie free agents if you're in a four-round draft, or there's going to be guys that you can get in the fifth, sixth round that you feel pretty good about their prospects, right? I mean, you and I both made it a point to call out Grendo, and he's still on the board right now. He would probably be one of the first picks in the fifth round, right? So Yeah, I mean, anytime there's depth in a class like this, there's always going to be some diamonds in the rough, and having some flexibility on your roster to try to go scoop those up and rearrange your taxi squad is always one of the most fun and most challenging parts of the post draft cycle.
Yeah, I want to give the best advice of the offseason is that after these drafts go off, make sure you use your fab, like use all your fab if you have to, because this is around the time that you can be getting your guys, you can be dropping off all that dead weight, you could fill up $100 worth of fab and then fill up these guys. Like you could trade a Hunter Renfrow that maybe has $5-10 worth of fab if no one's going to trade a pick for him. Like try to make some deals, get that fab. Yep. Use that fab right away.
Yeah.
And if you go broke during the season, at least you took your shots.
Dude, listen, there have been so many more years in dynasty leagues that I have not used my fab at the end of it. And I was like, I wish I, right after the rookie draft, just went ham as fuck. You know what I mean? Wow. And like there aren't going, if you're in a competitive deep dynasty league like this, where it's super flex, it's 12 teams, you know, probably a start 10 or 11 at least, but like regardless, like you're gonna want to burn your fab early here on these rookies, Eric. Like, has there ever been a time in a dynasty league that you can remember, like, damn, I didn't have enough fab for that? Like, it's only in redraft and keeper leagues that ever burns me.
I mean, there's been times where I've been a little short in the pockets, right?
Okay.
But I would much rather be in that situation, having spent all of that money immediately following the rookie draft, right? Because like, yes, you're emptying the holster now, thanks to Sleeper. You can, as Hoove alluded to, include fab in your trade. So there's always ways to kind of re-up a little bit there, right? It's a fantastic negotiating lever. But secondarily, like if you talk about the range of outcomes for these guys that are still on the board, like yes, you might overspend a little bit, but if any of them get anywhere near their top end outcome, right, their 75th, 80th percentile outcome, you will have gotten them for pennies on the dollar what you would have paid if you waited for the breakout to happen, right? So like the implied value of that type of move is just through the roof.
Well, and to start out this whole thing, we showed you guys a draft from 2023 that I did with a bunch of analysts, a bunch of really smart dynasty analysts. Puka Nacua did not go drafted in four rounds. And I can't even remember who was, you know, the guy who went all in and splurged all their fab on him. Instead of going all in on Puka, I did Michael Wilson, and you know that didn't get me as far. But still, Hoove, I think that's great advice overall. And guys, I think that was some great dynasty advice as we close the book on it. We'll do another dynasty rookie draft here later this summer. Once we get the actual draft in the bag, and we'll look back at this one, some of the mistakes we made, and talk about it post NFL draft. But overall, guys, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. The easiest way to support Hoove, Eric, and myself, and everyone we have here in Between Media, between our NASCAR, PGA, entertainment, and NFL team, is to subscribe here on the channel. If you enjoy this type of content, leave us a comment, let us know where we went wrong, let Hoove know where he went wrong. I know people enjoy that on the internet. Eric, you got Green Screens Media popping off here. Still some college basketball stuff happening over there, if you have anything to plug.
Yeah, college basketball never sleeps. So yeah, the national championship is behind us. Shout out to Coach Hurley and to the UConn Huskies for going
back
to
back. Thank you, Coach.
But we march on. There are already hundreds upon hundreds of kids in the transfer portal, and many of them
already
announcing their destination for next year. So Mike, our guy Mike Holland, has already dropped his top 200 board over at drrotor.com. We're already dropping shows. We'll be live tomorrow talking about five new entrants and five new commits since the last time we were on. So we'll still be live 3-4 times a week talking about transfer classes, talking about rookie classes, freshman classes, I should say, as I shift out of football mode. We'll be talking to more coaches this year. We'll be talking to more players this year. So, yeah, the season's over, but the coverage still rolls on at Green Screens Media, which is where we are almost exclusively covering college basketball.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hoove, what do you have in the holster right now, man? What are you working on?
All right, so if you want to keep your eyes peeled on IBT, I will be dropping one more final mock draft.
One more, folks.
One more article, full breakdown, pick by pick, all 32 in the first round. And I'm excited because this is my first NFL draft I'm going to. So make sure you guys check me out on Twitter and follow my journey of going to my first NFL draft. I'm going to be doing my first betting, my first sports betting at BetMGM, and I'm going to have a blast. But trail my picks. You know, you don't bet on me. You don't bet on me, okay? I don't get paid for this. Don't bet with me, okay? Don't bet with me now. But you guys can follow along. Watch me lose some money. Watch me cry a little bit when I'm all wrong. But make sure you guys bet on DraftKings. Make sure you guys go check out the sponsor, you know. And also,
yeah, shout out DK.
Make sure you guys go ahead and buy some tickets to Draft Night Out because we are super excited to see you guys all in August. And that's my final plug. Okay.
Yeah.
I want to see your tickets sold.
Yes, Draft Night Out is our official official live event of the summer. It's our draft party out in Canton, Ohio. So if you want to take on a couple beers, a couple whiskeys, maybe a couple tequilas with the boys out there, it's going to be like 200 plus people packed in a two-story bar overlooking Tom Benson Memorial Stadium Hall of Fame, bro. Like, it's going to be what you want to be at. So, Hoof, thank you for that plug. I forgot to plug it earlier.
They got downtown. DraftKings has a downtown Detroit location, actually. So okay. You guys will be seeing me down there. I'll be checking it out.
Man on the street.
And if you guys do want to get invested with DraftKings before the NFL draft too, we have a link right here in the episode description. It helps us out a lot. It will help you get paid. You know, I think you can deposit $10 right now and get $200 in free bets. So you can tail who?
$200?
Yeah. Oh yeah. $200. Yeah. No, DK.
I might move to a legal state for that.
Yeah. Very, very welcoming, DK. I actually am going to take a trip in a couple weeks here before the draft. I'm going to go down to Maryland, hopefully post up at a bar with my guy Herms down there. And I'm going to post some NFL draft bets because I can't do it in fucking Pennsylvania. Get your shit together, Josh Shapiro. Get your fucking shit together. That's all I got to say.
How do you really feel?
Turn on Dave in the chat to round us out.
Hey!
Yeah!
That's good. That a boy.
But yeah, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us each and every Tuesday night. We have a blast fucking doing this each and every week, man. We'll be back next week. We got more rookie content. We are going to be doing an NFL prop betting show here in a couple weeks. NFL draft prop betting show here, Hoove. So you can get ready for that. We'll get everyone ready in the chat, though, as well. Until then, guys, have a great weekend. Be safe and keep it in between. We'll catch you soon. Thank you.